The item is skates, and I will turn it over to the chair of the skate committee.
Morning, everybody. We have a number of documents for your perusal today. We'll start with the skate documents are behind tab 13, and the principal documents you'll need are the ones with the little ring around it, which is the actual package. And there's document number 5, which is Andy's presentation that he'll be giving in a moment. And then just to confuse you and make sure everybody's paying attention, the actual motions are behind our document number 6 in tab 6. So if you want to pull out the motions, you've got to go into the Whiting documents because it's the skate slash Whiting committee. And the reason we're here today with skates is to hopefully submit a final skate specification package for 2012 and 2013. So we will have 3 motions, and then we'll need a motion to submit. And right now I'll turn it over to Andy to give you a brief presentation on background of where we are today.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to fill in a little bit of details to bring everybody up to speed on the specifications package. This is in document 5, tab 13, as David mentioned. There are copies on the front table for those that don't have a copy of it yet. Based on analysis that the PDT did in the springtime and review and approval by the SSC, which was reported at the June Council meeting, the specifications document starts out with an adjustment of the ABC and ACL specifications, which include increasing the ABC to 50,435 tons. The ACT takes into account a 25% management buffer. And from that, we subtract projected dead discards of 13,738 tons and a 3% assumption about state landings in 2012 and 2013, which allows for a federal TAL of 23,365 metric tons split according to Amendment 3 rules for the wing and the bait fishery. These specifications take into account new data, including the 2009 to 2011 survey biomass, which we saw large increases in little and winter skate biomass compared with to what we used in Amendment 3 specifications for the 2010 and 11 fishing year, and better little and winter skate discard mortality estimates, which has two effects. It increases the TAL as a proportion of the ACT because the proportion of discards is lower, but it also decreases the catch biomass exploitation ratio and therefore reduces the ABC compared to what would have been calculated had we applied the Amendment 3 assumption of 50% discard mortality. The trends in biomass are shown in Figure 1. So you can refer back to that. In the springtime, we updated the status based upon these new data. There's no overfishing on any stock. Thorny skate remains overfished. Smooth skate is near the biomass threshold, but is currently not overfished. Barn door skate is rebuilding. The biomass is between the target and the threshold. And clear nose little and winter skate are above the biomass target. terms of timeline, where we're at now, conducted the peer review of survey calibration methods for skates. It was reviewed by the SSC in April. The SSC reviewed and approved the ABCs and the new discard mortality research and how it was used to set ABC and the ACL specifications in June. The council in June identified alternatives for a specifications document. And September is where we're at now. The council approves final specs package. And once we submit, sometime in October or early November when we finish the document, the Fishery Service begins review and publishes a proposed rule. The final rule is expected to become effective by the beginning of fishing year in May 2012. The document as it currently stands is nearly complete. There are a few things to be completed, including some additional editing and some additional economic analysis and protected species analysis needs to occur. And we'll continue to work with the Fishery Service regional office staff to complete those sections. The alternatives are described, the ACL specifications, section 4.1, status determination specifications, section 4.2. The reason for those is because the survey methodology has changed, and so the overfishing definitions and how they're defined need some minor adjustment, so they're included in sections 4.2. There are adjustments to the wing fishery possession limit. The way Amendment 3 is set up is that the council makes adjustments to those to balance and keep the fishery open throughout the year as much as possible. There are two alternatives in Section 4.3, one based upon a goal of keeping the fishery open throughout the year and taking 100% of the TAL by the end of the year, and a second alternative which includes estimates of possession limits that would take 85% of the TAL as a risk-averse alternative. And then there's also a status quo alternative, which is the existing possession limits of 2,600 and 4,100 pounds. There's a split seasonal possession limit. The industry also asked us to consider an increase in the bait fishery possession limit from 20,000 to 25,000 pounds. That's included in Section 4.4. So starting with the ACL specifications, there's a flow chart which shows what those specifications are. The analysis is included in Section 6.1.1 that we're still using the median catch biomass ratio, which according to the Amendment 3 analysis and as updated and reviewed by the SSC is conservative in that biomass increases more frequently at a higher rate than it does when catches exceed the ABC. And I'll show some further analysis in this document that shows that there would be marginal impacts on overfished thorny, nearly overfished smooth, and rebuilding barn door, that there's a small amount of overlap in skate fishing effort with the distribution of those species. The analysis shows that there would be higher revenue and fewer discards and a possible increase in the number of trips and trip duration. There are two types of fisheries, wing fisheries, trawl and gill net. Looking at directed fishing activity for skates using trawls, looking at the overlap between barn door skate and trawl effort. There's very little overlap, both in the spring and the fall. The one small exception is the circled area south of closed area 2, if I can point this thing in the right direction, right there, that there's a little bit of overlap in the springtime between barn door skate and some more intensive fishing effort for trips landing skates. Very little overlap in the fall. Most of the distribution of smooth skate is in the Gulf of Maine and northern Georgia's Bank, a little bit off of the Cape. There's not a lot of overlap between trawl effort on trips landing skates. There is, however, a little bit of overlap between trips targeting other species and landing an incidental limit of skates north of closed area 1. In terms of thorny skate, again, most of the distribution occurs Gulf of Maine, a little bit shallower than smooth skate, but there's very little overlap between skate trawl effort on trips landing skates and thorny skate. Again, on trips targeting other species but landing some incidental catch, there's quite a bit of ground fish effort between the western Gulf of Maine area and the northern area of Georgia's Bank. In terms of smooth skate on the left, there's a bit of overlap between north of closed area 1. And for non-targeted effort for thorny skate, there's a bit of overlapping effort between thorny skate and trips landing skates west of the western Gulf of Maine closure area, Stallwagon Bank area. In terms of gill nets, mostly there's not a lot of overlap in effort, but there is a significant amount of overlap in the springtime west of the Nantucket Lightship area. I think Ted Platts has spoken about this before. There's potential for some discarding of barn door skate in that area. But in the fall, there's very little overlap between gill net effort and barn door skate. Again, in terms of smooth skate, there's very little overlap in effort, except a little bit if you look very closely around Fipponies and Platts up here in the Gulf of Maine. And in terms of thorny, there's a bit of overlap between effort just to the southwest corner of the western Gulf of Maine area. So in summary, the increases in the ACL have very little, or expected to have a very little or very marginal impact on rebuilding potential for smooth, thorny, and barn door skate. Do you want me to stop and take a question, or would you like me to go on to the possession limit analysis?
Does anybody have any questions so far?
Okay. Moving on, the document looks at and analyzes the effect of possession limits on daily landings rates to estimate the potential for achieving the TAL at various candidate possession limits. This figure 15 shown here shows the smooth and actual daily limits on these individual points. Over time since May 1 of 2010, You see the landings were high when the possession limit was 20,000 pounds and then dropped when the possession limit went to 5,000 pounds and then dropped again when the possession limit dropped to 500 pounds on September 3rd. Then we see an increase again on May 1, 2011, when the possession limit was 5,000 pounds and then declined slowly when the possession limit declined to 4,100 pounds on May 17th when Framework 1 was implemented. In brown color, you see the response of prices to the changes in domestic landings. We can analyze these data using a logarithmic curve. The document analyzes two sets with and without 20,000 pounds, these trips here. The curve fits pretty well with an R-square of 0.58. However, if you look closely at 2011 landings, either at 2,600 pounds or at 5,000 pounds were significantly higher than they were in 2010. And so that brings the slope of this curve up compared with the analysis. I'm getting confused. In Amendment 10 and in Framework 1, when we estimated to take the TAL would require possession limits of 2,600 and 4,100 pounds. Whether or not you include or exclude the landings early in 2010, when the possession limit was 2,000 pounds, results in nearly the same curve. The dotted line, sorry, too many buttons. The dotted line represents the daily possession limit, or actually the total TAC of 15,535 metric tons. And from these curves, you can estimate what the possession limit should be to achieve either 100% or 85% of the TAL. And so the last table in the handout, which is also in the document, provides the final results. And for the first alternative, the results are to achieve 100% of TAL would require a possession limit reduction to 2,300 pounds in season one, which runs May through August, and 3,600 pounds in season two, running from September through April. The analysis suggests that those landing rates, the TAL trigger, which is 85% of TAL, would be reached at around early March, but that without taking any action, the fishery would achieve the TAL by the end of the fishing year, taking 100% of the TAL. Alternative two, to take 85% of TAL by the end of the fishing year would require a possession limit reduction to 1,500 pounds in season one and 2,400 pounds in season two. And in contrast to status quo, using the same sets of analyses at 2,600 and 4,100 pounds, the projected TAL trigger date would be in early to mid, I guess that's mid to late February. And if the possession limit were reduced on those dates to 500 pounds in mid-February, the analysis suggests that the fishery would take 90 and 91% of the TAL on the 500 pounds from mid-February to the end of March. So there are three motions on tab 6, document 3. Karen has those that the committee made. on state order landings on the, I'm sorry, turn the page over, on the ACL alternatives, on the possession limit is alternative two, and on the the first motion is the possession limits, second motion is the bait possession limits, and the third motion is on the ACL alternatives. Any questions?
Any questions for Andy? Tom.
Thanks. This is just actually a clarification. Looking at the NERO quota management website, it doesn't look like it actually reflects the emergency action, so it doesn't reflect the 50% increase in the wing tail. So if I'm looking at what the fisheries landed so far this year under the existing what would be status quo alternatives, it looks like we've landed about 11.7 million pounds of wings. And the new tail under the emergency action would be 31.6 million. So we're looking at, instead of the 56% that I think is represented on the NERO management site, it's more like 37% under the status quo option. It seems like we might not be catching all the skates. I'm looking at some of the alternatives here, and it seems like we might not be achieving or on path to achieve the TAL this year, given the trip limits and the emergency action. Do you have any thoughts on that?
The analysis suggests that we are on path to take the revised TAL, and you're right, the website does not yet reflect the new TALs in the under emergency action because it hasn't been, as of yesterday anyway, hasn't been published yet. The reason it's lagging behind 2010 is because a lot of the 2010 landings were made when the possession limit was 20,000 pounds. So it's hard to project what will happen for the remainder of the year under 4,100 pounds. The landings rate did decline in July and August of this year with 2,600 pounds, but that may have been due to vessels postponing trips until a possession limit went up to 4,100 pounds. On the other hand, vessels still have to use days at sea to land skates, and so that may become somewhat of a limiting factor, which this analysis cannot take into account.
That answer your question, Tom? Anyone else on the council?
Yeah, I guess okay. We're ready for the first motion then.
Prior to that, I'm going to go to the audience and get see if they have any questions and comments on the whole thing, then we'll come back for the members of the public, do you have any comments on the skate specification package or questions for Andy on that?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. John Whiteside, Mickelson Barnett from New Bedford, representing the Sustainable Fisheries Association. And as I was preparing for today's meeting and was reviewing the work that Andy and the PDT and many others have done, I was thinking of what a difference a year makes, that a year ago we were in Newport and the association was pleading with the council because the fishery had been closed and 300 people had lost their jobs. And the reason at that time that the fishery was closed down was threefold. We had obsolete data, we had high possession limits, and a low TAL. And the response was rapid between cooperative effort between NOAA providing the data and the PDT working diligently on that and input from industry and harvesters. The framework one was passed, and that addressed one piece. The emergency action, we're hopeful, as Andy was saying, as of yesterday, it hadn't been finalized, but that should carry us through the rest of the year. The specifications package, as it's proposed, the Sustainable Fisheries Association is in support of the reduction in the trip limits. And the reason for that is so that we could maintain a steady supply of product coming in, and hopefully that the with the increase in the TAL that is significant, that will carry us through the year, and that we will operate a year-round fishery, which is very important to maintain the shoreside support. It's not only getting the fish, but it's being able to process it, ship it, and whether that's maintaining international air cargo space, whether it's maintaining all of the other mechanisms that you all are very familiar with that support the processors. So we're here today to support those initiatives and applaud the efforts that everyone made over the past year. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the industry or public? Bring it back to the council. Dave?
Can I have the first motion, please? I move on behalf of the committee to recommend alternative 4.1.1 is the preferred alternative. And for those of you who want to check the exact language of that in the document, it's on page 4.27.
Committee motion does not need a second. Discussion. Pat.
Thank you. So this motion basically recommends status quo for state waters landings, and yet the state waters landings increase significantly up to from 3% up to 12.6%. I'd like to hear more about the rationale for that. It seems to me that's adding that we're not using the base, you know, the most recent information in making the adjustments to the ACT.
Okay, well, I'll provide a little bit, and Andy can provide some more. As you know, letters were sent to the state directors requesting that they look into the situation. My understanding is that several have responded, and I think Andy has the specifics.
Yeah, when we this came before the council in June, and when the PDT examined the data for 2010, it found two things. One is, as Pat mentioned, that the state landings, as monitored under the ACLs, had increased to 12.7%. But at the same time, when we applied the same monitoring procedures to 2009 data, we estimated that in 2009 state water landings were about 6.7%. And so we discussed this at the committee and at the council meeting, and the council decided to send letters to state directors to bring attention to the subject. As things turned out in 2010, partly because we allowed for a 25% management buffer, and partly due to the increase in state landings, partly due to changes in discard, we estimated that the total catch was 84% of the ACL, which was less than the threshold, although somewhat more than the target, but the 25% management buffer fulfilled that role. So Part of the increase had to do with the rules that were in place in 2010. Some vessels dropped their federal permits to fish in state waters. Some fishermen had other vessels to fish in state waters. And that may be less likely to occur under Framework 1 and these specifications. So the council decided to maintain the 3% projected or assumed state landings for 2012 and 13 based upon the letters, the greater attention to the subject, and the lower likelihood that the wing fishery would close early in the fishing year.
Well, then maybe my question is to the state director. Has there been any response to the letters that the council sent?
Mark? Mark, then David.
Thanks. For Rhode Island, yes, we have brought the issue before our Marine Fisheries Council. Executive Director Howard's letter was in their last council briefing, and they have agreed to convene one of their advisory panels to discuss the issue with the potential for going forward with state rulemaking. We currently have no state regulations in state waters. Going forward with a rulemaking action for consideration by our director sometime in the winter of 2012 that would be effective at the beginning of the fishing year.
Dr. Pierce.
Yes, indeed. We did receive the letter from Paul regarding concern about landings of skates in state waters from non-federal permitted fishermen. And in response, two letters were drafted and sent to Paul. One, August 26th, it's in the binder. It describes our perspective regarding skate management in state waters and our offering up some suggestions as to where the problem might lie relative to the increased landings in state waters, but specifically in New York and Rhode Island. And we also speculate and ask for comment back to help us decide whether or not our interpretations or our beliefs are correct. We noted in the first letter that in Massachusetts, state water skate landings decreased from 2009 to 2010 by 30% in the wing fishery and by 7% in the bait fishery. And we just noted the tabular information where the increase, as I said, appeared to be in other states, Rhode Island being the notable state, New York to some extent, they did have a noteworthy increase. So that was to set the record straight regarding what appears to be going on inside Massachusetts waters relative to the other states. And then we suggested that this council needs to consider an important issue that relates to overall management of groundfish and skates, and that perhaps if there was a shift to state waters, that shift may have come about because of sector management of groundfish and the fact that fishermen, and we know this to be true, you know, many fishermen were trying to find other alternative species to target. What was available to them? What were their options? Skate appeared to be one of those options. So that might have been a contributing factor to the increased amount of catch of skates in some states' waters, again, not in Massachusetts. In the second letter that we sent, again, in the binder, we ask a simple question. And this is the question that we asked relative to groundfish a few years ago, and it was the question related to the way in which federal permit holders were renewing their permits, and that with groundfish at one time not too long ago, they could renew their permits very late in the year. So they would fish inside state waters with their state waters permit, and then renew their federal permit late in the year, so they retained it and could fish in federal waters, of course, once they got that permit back. So we suggested at the time that contributed to increased groundfish landings from state waters. We wanted it fixed, and then, Pat, your office was extremely helpful in that regard, and I believe you did change the way in which permits were renewed to correct that problem. So we just asked the question in this second letter to Paul that perhaps increased landings in some states' waters might be due to the fact that fishermen perhaps are again, renewing their federal permit rather late in the year, and we note that this may be the federal permit for monkfish, in that skates are also caught when fishermen are fishing for monkfish. So the question that we raised was, because they are renewing their are there fishermen renewing their permits late in the year, and is that contributing to some extent, maybe to a major extent, to the increased landings occurring in some states' waters? If it is, it could be addressed, I suspect, by the service taking a look at the way in which these federal permits are renewed. That could fix a problem, could fix a loophole that might exist. So letter received, our responses have been provided, and we also indicated that we are, in our agency, looking at what perhaps might be necessary, what might be useful for state waters management of skates. We're already hard-pressed to deal with all sorts of fisheries in our waters, and the need to respond to a redirection of effort to our waters as a consequence of rules and regulations this council has adopted, especially for groundfish sector management. So we're looking at it, and as soon as we have any suggestions, any course of action that we wish to pursue, we'll keep the council informed. But again, Massachusetts, landings are down, so there's not really a sense of urgency on our part, but perhaps things could change. So we're dealing with it, but in a slow and methodical way, turning to the service for some answers to the questions that we have posed relative to where the problem may lie.
Pat?
So the short answer is no. No, just
the short
kidding.
Answer,
just kidding.
Well, the short answer is an inadequate answer. That's why I had to provide an answer with specifics, because I don't think anyone has really reflected on these particular letters, and you have may overlook
okay, it. Okay, I got it. I was just going to actually, that was just a joke. I was just going to respond to the permit issue. This is a different situation than groundfish. This is an open access permit. The groundfish permit was a limited access permit, and so they could, and we did have this situation where they could delay renewing the limited access permit. An open access permit, they can cancel and get back and cancel and get back indefinitely. So it's a slightly different situation and problem.
Other council comments, questions? Mark.
Just in response to the letter in Connecticut, the landings really showed no increase, in 2010. But nevertheless, we are able to use declaration authority to set possession limits that are in conformance with what the federal possession limits are, or closures if that should occur. We will probably in future regulation actions, add something to address skate trip limits as they change for federal water. So.
Council? We have a motion. Are we ready for the question? All those in favor, so indicate. Opposed, abstention, 1. 16-0-1, the motion carries. Dave.
Okay, the next motion we have is move on behalf of the committee to recommend that alternative 4.3.1 should be the preferred alternative. And change glasses here. That is on page 4.34 for people who want to read the actual text.
Committee motion, does not need a second. Discussion. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, and going over the rationale for the alternative on that page, 4.4-34, it's unclear to me why the committee would prefer that option, especially because of the rationale under 4.3.2, where the possession limit adjustments would allow the fishery to take 85% of the TAL. There are arguments made in an alternative that seem to be well, that are persuasive for are actually going with that particular alternative. It's a more conservative choice, a greater chance that the skate wing fishery will remain open for the entire year, even if the landings rate and fishing effort increase. Fishermen and processors have indicated keeping the fishery open for the entire fishing year creates economic stability, et cetera, et cetera. And there's another bit of argument as well, a rationale for going with that possession limit. So it's unclear to me why the committee feels that we should select the alternative they have offered up as preferred.
Andy.
And now this motion's up, I just want to clarify something. There's an inconsistency between the possession limit alternative one with 2,200 pounds and the analysis was 2,300 pounds. It's really simply a rounding error, makes a very little difference in the outcome, but you could, based on the analysis, increase that to 2,300 pounds and still achieve the objective.
If I may, Mr. Chair, there's also a typo where under 4.3.1 it says that the possession limit would increase from 4,100 to 3,600. It's to decrease.
You didn't take the new math? Thank you. I saw that as well. Mary Beth.
We did have a discussion about this at the committee, and the difference between having a goal of taking 100%, providing as much stability to both the fishery and the processes as we could along the way, and looking at all the analysis and uncertainty in that we felt that this alternative was the best outcome. To actually plan to not take the TAL doesn't really seem to be the best, interest of the industry. We'd like to give them an opportunity to take it. There are measures in place that should it actually hit the trigger, which is 85%, not 100%, prior to the end of the fishing year, then there's an incidental catch limit, which is also part of the analysis. We have a 25% buffer from ACL to ACT in this particular fishery. And when you add up all those things, the discussion at the committee felt that the most appropriate alternative was planning to try to take 100% and stretch this fishery over the course of the entire year as best as possible and provide some stability.
Tom.
Just following up on that comment, I think the second alternative of 1,500 pounds and 2,400, and we're starting to dip into the profitability of the directed skate fishery. It's a volume fishery that hovers in price around 30 to 60 cents to the boat. At 1,500 pounds, you're just not going to see boats go after the skates. It becomes infeasible. And I think, especially in light of the fact that we're now making permanent a 56% increase, reflecting the new scientific information that we have an expanding and robust stock biomass for skates. I think we're right now discussing how much lower to put the trip limit. I think that alone is a very interesting conversation. We just bumped up the overall level 56%, and now we're sort of talking about how far down the trip limits are going to go. Recognizing the issues with the open access fishery, but I think it's difficult to make some of these projections. As Andy indicated earlier, we have an open access fishery with changes in effort. We have issues, obviously, as we discussed, with state waters landings. But this fishery is under, I think they've seen four different trip limits in the last 2 years, two different emergency actions. I think this fishery needs some stability, and cutting drastically the trip limit is, I think, going to be very hard for the industry to handle.
Further council comment? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. 15 in favor, opposed, 1, abstention, 1. Motion carries 15-1-1. Dave?
Okay. Another motion here that I move on behalf of the committee to recommend alternatives with an S, 4.4.1 and 4.4.2 as preferred alternatives. And those are available on page 4-35 for people who want to read the text.
Committee motion does not need a second. Discussion? I don't know if people are reading it or if everybody's ready to go. I'll call a question. All those in favor, so indicate. Fifteen opposed. Abstention. 15-0-1. Were you in favor or opposed? 16-0-1. Motion carries. Dave.
Okay. If nobody has any other business, then I would make a motion to submit a specifications package, which will need a second. That's not a committee motion.
Is there a second to that? Rodney. Discussion. Seeing none, I will call a question. All those in favor, so indicate. 16 in favor. Opposition, 0. Abstention, 1. 16-0-1. Do you have any other business?
No, I don't.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding the state waters landings, Pat clarified things earlier on for me regarding the fact that this is an open access fishery, so they can get in, they can get out. I guess it's still not clear to me, Pat, why, even with that situation, you're not in a position to require that fishermen renew at the beginning of the year. It would be helpful if you could provide a bit more clarity, since this is a big thing, and if there was a way for the service to actually modify its approach to stop this late renewal, that would be might be helpful. So if you would clarify, I'd appreciate that.
So for groundfish, let me start from the beginning. We did change the requirement to require people to renew earlier in the year for all fisheries across the board when we had the situation for groundfish. For groundfish, then, so they have to renew, and then you can't cancel your permit, because if you cancel your permit, it's permanently canceled forever and ever, not just for the year. So on skate, they can renew by the deadline, but then cancel their permit and reapply and get the permit back. So because it's not a limited access permit, they have the option of canceling and reapplying indefinitely, an unlimited number of times, I should say, unlike an open access permit where if you cancel it, it's in perpetuity.
Okay, so there's no way you could administratively deal with this issue. It has to be a limited access fishery.
It would have to be a limited access permit for us to, right?
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to make one comment concerning this committee. I think the work that's been done by the committee and the collaborative effort with the industry and with the AP is the I just want to commend the work that you've done. I think that that's exactly the kind of thing that I would like to see happen, and in terms of our reacting to the operational review report. So thank you for your good work on that. Dave?
Yeah, I was going to thank everybody. You already did it. I just wanted to remind people to hold on to this document from behind tab 6. You're going to need it tomorrow when we're up for round 2 with Whiting. So make sure you hold on to that because it has the Whiting motions on it. Thank you very much.
Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, and to that point, following up on your comments, Rip, we had some excellent staff work. But I always want to recognize the excellent work done by our staff. And Andy is, at the top of the list regarding the helpfulness that we get, the good work that is done, especially the technical analyses that are required, that he provides to us, again, in cooperation with the whole technical staff and the plan development team.
Thank you for that. Comments concerning the committee was all inclusive of the people that have put in the work. We will now move on to the next item is the